Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 6. Exodus 20, 3 through 6. Let's pray, and then we'll read these verses, and then with the Lord's help, try to say some things that I trust will be helpful for us, and of course, we'll always be glorifying to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that our sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Not just part of our sins, but all of them. Every sin past, every sin present, and every sin we have not even committed yet. All forgiven by God through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. That we sit here tonight as forgiven, redeemed, and on our way to heaven one day. So thank you for that truth. Thank you for working that work for us. For we know that if it was left up to us, we would miss it completely. For we know who we are. But we are grateful for who you are. You are a great God. And I ask you tonight that you would speak through your word, open hearts to hear, and may you receive all glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. Verse 3 of Exodus chapter number 20. The context here is God speaking from Mount Sinai, writing the Ten Commandments. And this is what he says, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. So notice there, don't worship them, don't serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing forth unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's the Old Testament, but it is just as much as the Word of God as the New. And we thank God for it, and we believe it, and all God's people said, Amen. We started last week looking at what I have called the theology of worship. We looked at Cain and Abel's offering of praise, in which Abel and his offering, and it's important for us to notice that God did not regard the offering separate from the person that was doing the offering. So the Bible says that Abel and his offering was accepted by God, and Cain and his offering was rejected by God. And we're not exactly told in Scripture why God received one and rejected the other. Although there is speculation. And one of the speculations is that one was a blood offering and the other was not. But if you go through Scripture, you'll find out that God does indeed receive blood offerings, and he does also receive grain offerings in the Old Testament. I think it was not in their offerings. I think it was in their hearts. The acceptance and the rejection of the offering was not so much the offering, I think, but it was in their own hearts. It does not matter that you worship God if it doesn't come from your heart. And if your heart is not pure. It just becomes lip service. It just becomes external, not from the heart. And I think that Cain's heart was revealed in his response to God's rejection of his offering. He should have admitted that he had not done right, because God says, if you would not have done right, would you not have been accepted? He should have repented and did the right thing. But he became instead angry, and his countenance fell. And then he kills his own brother. And I believe that was all in his heart before it happened. That was in Cain's heart when he brought the offering to the Lord. And his lack of repentance, his anger with God, his jealousy of his brother, his hatred for his brother, all was in his heart as he tried to worship God. Imagine trying to worship God with all of that foreign godliness in his heart. It was just foreign to God. The Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith, right? And it is impossible to have faith unless you are saved by and through Jesus Christ. So, God does not accept the worship of those who have hearts that reject Him. God doesn't accept the worship of those whose hearts do not believe and trust in Him. Only those who are saved can truly worship God. Our hearts must be right with God to worship God, and the only way our hearts can be right with God is through Jesus Christ. So only God's people can really worship God, because only God's people care about God being pleased with their worship. Tonight, I want us to go another step forward in this discussion of worship and talk about how we are to worship God. We are told that, I think, in these first two commandments that are given to us in Exodus chapter number 20. So 2 points tonight. I owe you 4 minutes. Point number one. The who we worship matters to God. Who we worship matters. How we worship matters, but we're going to get to that in just a moment. But the who we worship matters to God. And He, God, is the arbitrator of our worship. It is He that accepts it or rejects it. And it's not in the elegance or in the beauty of our worship. It's in who we worship. And I want to tell you tonight that God will not allow a rival to receive His worship. There can be absolutely no competition for our worship to God. In the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, God commands His people to worship Him and only worship Him. It is an exclusive command to worship God and only God. You shall have no other gods before Me. Which literally means, don't worship anything else but Me. God is the object of our worship. And the second commandment is linked to the first commandment so that we have something similar to two sides of a coin. The first commandment is about the proper object of worship. The second commandment is about the proper mode of worship, the who and the how. The first commandment addresses what theologians call orthodoxy, or having the right belief in the right person. And the second commandment addresses orthopraxy, which is the right practice. We need to be worshiping the right person, and we need to be worshiping in the right way. The first commandment tells us whom we are to worship, and the second commandment tells us how we are to worship. And God says in His Word, worship me alone, and then God says, worship me alone this way. Say amen. So, we don't get to worship how we want to worship. That's not something that we are free to decide on our own. I think that was Cain's problem. Now, listen, when we talk about God being the sole, exclusive object of our worship, there cannot be anything in our lives that we fear more than God. There cannot be anything in our lives that we trust more than God. And there cannot be anything in our lives that we love more than God. Because if we fear them more than God, or we trust them more than God, or we love them more than God, then they are our gods, and we worship them. Say amen. God demands preeminence. And we have to learn the difference between good and bad and good and better. And we need to cleave to the better and refuse the evil. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do not put anything else in front of me. God demands preeminence. And God demands that He be absolutely our only master, our only Lord, and that He reigns supremely in our lives. Or else you can't worship. Say amen. If He is our Lord, and if He is our God, then He demands that we worship Him, that we serve Him, and that we obey Him. Say amen. Now, let me ask you a question. If someone doesn't care whether they worship, serve God or obey God, are they in a position to rightly worship the right God? He's not their Lord then, is He? He's not their supreme, and you can't worship God unless He is that. It is demanded of all of us who are His people that we glorify God, and we glorify God alone. Man was created to worship. And if we don't worship the true God, then we all worship a false God. Say amen. So the who of our worship matters to God. And you say, well, why would you even say that? We're all here worshiping God. Well, maybe not. Sometimes we come to worship ourselves. Say amen. We sing songs about ourselves. We preach messages about ourselves. Apparently we're here to worship ourselves. Say amen. Because we're on the throne. We're our own gods. We can worship that way, but God's not going to accept it. And I think it's silly for us to worship in a way that God doesn't accept. So we have to come and we have to make sure that God is the one whom we worship. He is the object of our worship. He is our master. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And we have come to lift Him up. We have come to magnify Him. We've come to glorify Him and not ourselves and not anything else. You understand there are churches that are full of things that have nothing to do with God, right? Everything needs to be stripped away so that worship is about Him. We sing about Him, we pray to Him, we preach Him, everything is about Him. Say amen. Notice secondly, and there's only 2 points, and all God's people said, amen. Some of you are saying, I think I really am going to get that 4 minutes back. Number two, not only the who we worship matters to God, but the way we worship matters to God. Now, are you listening? It is possible to worship the right, this is looking at the text, why would God have to say that? Why would God have to say, verse 4, after verse 3? And He has to say it because It's possible for us to worship the right person the wrong way. Say amen. I have people come to me all the time. You know what they tell me? Well, so-and-so is going to this church and they're preaching Christ. They're worshiping Christ, but are they worshiping Christ the right way? Right? Because it's possible to worship the right person the wrong way. And worshiping the right person the wrong way is rejected by God. Now, Cain brought his offering to the Lord, did he not? Abel brought his offering to the Lord, right? I'm about to have a seizure. Something's... What is that? To my right? Well, it's not... There it is. I see. I thought Justin was sending me a signal or something. I was trying to tap that out on Morse code, see what was going on. Now we're all going to be worshiping the light. Not only must we worship the right person, we have to worship the right person in the right way. So that means that we cannot worship God any way that we want to worship God. We cannot worship God any way that we think is right. I can't worship God any way that I prefer. Right? I have to worship God a certain way. The second commandment here warns us that even worship can have misguided sincerity. Say amen. So somebody can truly, sincerely worship God, worship Christ, yet sincerely worship Him wrongly. Say amen. Unbiblically. You remember when the children of Israel, Moses, the context here, Moses and the Lord are on the mountain, the children of Israel at the bottom of the mountain, and they have gotten a little impatient with the Lord and with Moses, and they talk Aaron into taking all of the jewelry, and Aaron said the most miraculous thing happened. They just threw the thing in the fire and the calf came out. But they built a golden calf for their God, and you remember the scene that the Bible describes? All the children of Israel was dancing around that golden calf. And God knows what's going on. And God doesn't say, He doesn't say, well, look how sincere they are. They're a little misguided, but their hearts are sincere. Is that what God said? God was so angry. God was so angry that His people had formed this golden calf and now we're worshiping around it. God was so angry that it was only the intercession of Moses that saved them from God killing all of them. You think God takes these things seriously? He absolutely does. God demands that He be worshiped, and He demands that His worship be proper worship. Now, there are two ways, at least two primary ways, in which we finite people can know the infinite God. We can either know God by our imaginations. Well, we can either attempt, let me back up. We can either attempt to know God by our imaginations, or we can know God by His revelation. Right? But let me tell you this, seeking to know God by trying to imagine who God is does not work. And seeking to determine by our own imaginations how God should be worshiped does not work. Say amen. To worship God the right way, we have to have the proper conception of God. That's the reason that God so emphatically forbids the making of a graven image, because that graven image, no matter how beautiful it is, misrepresents God. Say amen. Anything made with man's hands misrepresents God. Anything tangible, anything visible, misrepresents the invisible God. Say amen. All we try to do is bring God down to our level. And friends, God ain't on our level. No God who is a spiritual God, as our God is, could possibly be represented by any material, any physical or visible image made with our hands or in our minds. If you say, well, I imagine that God is like this, stop. Say amen. That's an idol. Whether it's made by your hands or made in your minds, it is a false representation of who God is. Now, I hate to have my picture taken. Anybody like me, raise your hand. I hate to have my picture taken. I like to take the pictures. That way I can assure that I'm not in them. I don't take a good picture. Have you ever had a bad picture of you taken? That's what we do every time we worship God, not as Scripture reveals Him to be. We circulate a bad picture of Him. It degrades God, it misrepresents God, it distorts the very idea of who God is. Are you with me? Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you were God. God help us. Say amen. But imagine, let's imagine that you are God sitting on the throne in glory. And suppose that as God you have created the heavens and the earth. Say amen. And suppose that you have created everything in the heavens and the earth, right? And that you have by your power of your word upheld every portion of creation. And then you look down and the very crowning jewel of your creation are worshiping beetles and frogs, a stick, a statue, a denomination, a church, or anything else. And you're the God that made it all and made them. Would you be happy with that? Would you be accepting of that? You see, God is not a part-time God. And God doesn't play second fiddle. Say amen. And God will not share His throne with another. So the second commandment prohibits any attempts whatsoever to shape an image of God and then worship it and serve it according to who we think God is or how we think God should be worshiped. Say amen. There is one way for us to know who God is and one way to know how God wants to be worshiped. That is in His Scriptures. Say amen. So if we are not worshiping God by the book, we're not worshiping God. Now we cannot imagine in our minds the nature and the character and the attributes and the purpose or the glory of God. God must reveal Himself to us. We cannot worship God, or let me back up, God will not accept our worship of Him if our worship of Him is how we imagine God is and how we imagine God wants to be worshiped. We have creation. Creation proclaims that there is a God. right? Paul says that in Romans. Creation itself screams, there is a God. There is a powerful God who has created everything. Heaven and earth proclaim the reality of God, but creation cannot declare to us who God is, the name of God. To know God personally, you need a special revelation from God. And God has personally revealed Himself to us in the Bible. So worship has to come from the Bible. Say amen. That's why we have to filter everything that we do from Scripture. We must worship God on the basis of His revelation of Himself to us. So this is the truth. Are you ready? God-pleasing, God-accepted worship must be word-driven worship, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Say amen. Now, you listen to some of the things that go on in worship. What should our first response be? Where is that in Scripture? Say amen. Where is that in Scripture? God has to be worshipped according to the Word, in spirit and in truth. So this is what I want to say tonight. God says it. Worship is not about the images we see. Say amen. We don't need statues. We don't need idols. It's not about the images we see. It's about the words that we hear. Say amen. True worship is word-based, word-saturated, and word-driven. If we take the Word of God out of the worship, we've taken the worship out of the worship. Because it must be driven, saturated, and based on the Word. In other words, when we come to church, we are to sing the Word. Say amen. Can you say the Word? That was the most pathetic saying of the Word. Can you say the Word? We must sing. We must read. We must pray. We must preach. And we must see the Word. Do you get it? I have heard people say, because of a certain revelation of God in Scripture, I've heard people say that if that's the way God is, I don't want Him. Well, God is who the Scriptures tell us who He is, and if that ain't the God you want, then that ain't the God you're going to get. But if that ain't the God you have, you got a false God. Say amen. An image of God, whether it is graven or whether it's an image of your imagination, it is a marring, it is a terrible marring of the reality of who God is. We must worship God, and we must worship God through Jesus Christ. Say amen. So there are all kinds of religions that say they are worshiping God, yet they're not worshiping God through Jesus Christ, or they're not worshiping God through the reality of who Jesus Christ is scripturally, right? Because Jesus is not just a prophet, right? He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a moral example. He's God. So if we're not worshiping God through Christ, then our worship is not accepted by God. Whether that's a Muslim or whether that's a Jew or whether that's whoever. Say amen. It must be through Jesus Christ. And the reason that is because of something called sin. Whether that's original sin or whether that's actual sin, because of sin, we are all doomed to live in misery, die in sin, and suffer eternity in hell. But God sent Jesus to save us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of God in His nature. Jesus is God in the flesh. Amen. Truly God, truly man. So to worship God is to worship Jesus. And Christian worship is Christ worship. Say amen. The Lord should have supremacy in everything we say and do in worship. Say amen. Somebody, this is what goes on in some churches. You know, they spend more time designing the service than they do searching the Word of God, trying to get the Word of God right. Because this Sunday has to be better than next Sunday. This Sunday has to be different than last Sunday to hold the people's attention. Understand something. And I know some of you feel this way about this church. We don't go about doing something new in the worship service just to be doing something new. Something different. I told somebody this morning, I got one message. That's all I got. Jesus Christ. That's all I got. Worship is to be the same thing over and over and over again. Every service, every week, every month, every year, worship is all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you notice there are books written about how young people are leaving the church. And I have my ideas of why they're leaving the church. Because church is not the ongoing pizza youth group that they've had all their life. But there's no doubt that each generation seems to be getting less spiritually interested than the previous. And I think the reason for that is that we have failed to worship God in front of them the right way. And because we simply don't understand the importance of worship. You understand that to these children that come, that little man on the back row back there, Gabriel, Josie Noel, and Carson, and Ellie, and Charlotte, and all the children here, you understand that by the way we worship God, we communicate something to those children. Say amen. If we worship our God the wrong way, then we are saying something to those who are watching us. Say amen. Why is worship important? Well, there's absolutely nothing more important than worship. Say amen. Well, preacher, I can't come to church today. I got something more important to do. No, you don't. No, you don't. You have nothing more important to do than worship God. Say amen. Why is worship important? Three reasons. Because God desires it. God desires to be worshiped. And God made us and saved us to worship Him. Say amen. Even before we serve Him, we are to worship Him. God desires our worship. If God desires our worship, what could be more important than that? Say amen. There's nothing important, more important than giving God what He desires. Right? He's worthy of it. Do you know what the word worship means? It comes from the word, or the words, worth-ship. W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. God is worth our worship. Say amen. And our worship, the way we worship Him, is what we truly think God is worth. Say amen. And I'm here to tell you, God's worth a lot more than how we worship. We worship Him because He's worthy of worship. And we show by the way we worship what we think of God. Say amen. How much God is worth will be shown in the way that we worship. He alone is worthy of our worship. That's why we ought to worship Him. Who else and what else is more worthy of our time than our worship to God? Say amen. God desires our worship. God deserves our worship. God demands our worship. If we are not worshiping God the way that God wants to be worshiped, desires to be worshiped, demands to be worshiped, then our worship is going to cause our service to be empty, vain, and worthless. Worship comes before service. Do you see that in that text? Don't bow down to it and don't serve it. Don't worship it, don't serve it, in that order. If you're going to be a good servant of God, be a worshiper of God. Say amen. The first duty, the primary duty of the church is to worship God. I had a couple come in several years ago, come to the front. I was sitting in the front in there. They come during school hours and they said, can the church give us some money? And I said, well, can you come to a church service? No, we can't come to a church service. And I said, no, we can't give you any money. And she looked at me and she said, well, what's the church for then? Do you know what the church is for then? The worship of God. That's what the church is for. That's the duty of the church. That's our duty to the Lord. We must worship the right God the right way. And we must worship God as He is described in the Word. Say amen. And we must worship the way that He demands to be worshiped in the Word. The God we worship is described in the Word. The way that God demands to be worshiped is in the Word as well. Amen. And we, who we worship and the way we worship is important, even if it's not important to you. It is important to God. And if you don't believe me, if you ever have the chance, ask Cain if worship is important. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We pray, God, that You would cause it to fasten to our hearts, that we would meditate upon this truth, and You will help us to search the Scriptures to find out everything we can about You so that we may worship You as You are described in the Word, and that we will worship You in how You demand to be worshiped in Your Word. And that, of course, is always through Jesus Christ. We are to lift You up. We are to elevate You and exalt You, for You alone are worthy. So God, help us to display, help us to highlight the worth of You in our hearts by our worship. And may these young people in our church, may they see the God who is to be worshiped, and how that God demands to be worshiped. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for that. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen.